Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to have you listening today. In fact, I look forward to connecting with you every single day to hopefully bring you conversations that inspire you in your faith walk, deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that even heighten your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Here are a few questions to get the conversation started today. Would you say that you're a healthy person? And what does it mean to be healthy? And is that the same as physically fit? Well, how about spiritual health? Do you see it in any way connected to your physical health? Well, for me, I'd say that all too often we compartmentalize these various areas of our lives, and God has really made us a whole person, and they're very much connected. Well, we'll answer these questions and more with fitness expert Elisa Keaton in just a moment. I got a quick announcement for you. Next week is a big week for us at Faith Radio. As you know, we're a listener-supported ministry, and it's time for our spring share. It kicks off on Tuesday, runs through Friday. We are so excited about what God is doing at Faith Radio. This is a chance for us to pause, to remember what God has done, to celebrate what God's doing, and to dream about what He might do. We can't do it without you. We actually wouldn't even want to do it without you. Will you be prayerful even now and ask God just to prepare the landscape as we join together and seek Him for what is ahead for us as we seek to travel this road together? And again, what your part might be, just pray that you'd consider that. Ask God, show me what faith looks like in this regard, and then join us and tune in because it's going to be a great event starting next Tuesday, our spring share. Well, all right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Elisa Keaton's a leading certified fitness professional with more than 27 years of experience. She's passionately dedicated to serving the Lord, and she's the founder of Revelation Wellness. It's a nonprofit ministry dedicated to educating and inspiring people to live healthy and whole in Christ Jesus. She lives in Phoenix with her husband, Simon, and two children, Jack and Sophia, and we're honored to have her with us today. Elisa's my friend. Elisa, so good to have you on the show today.
Susie, always, always such a pleasure. And I consider you such a friend. We are kindred spirits for sure.
Indeed. And it's been fun to be on opposite sides of the mic where you're doing the interviewing sometimes. But this is fun for me because you've got some really great things to share today. We start with scripture every day. And I'm wondering, and I know you're a woman who loves God's word. Mm-hmm. Is there either a life verse or just one you've been hanging around these days that you can share with us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always good verses, but I'm in a moment right now of just kind of the tough, tough season, and I'm waiting for the Lord to come through. So 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And I know that just encourages me that I know He's revealing Himself more and more to me, and especially through hard circumstances. So I'm just keeping my eyes set, keeping my mind sober, readying my mind for action, not participating with anything that is fearful or dreadful. And as I've said, I interviewed you last, and you're no fear policy. I'm like, we have started to use that more in the ministry. This is a no fear zone, no fear policy. So that's been encouraging to me.
Wow. Well, just even what you're saying about walking through a particular battle and hanging on to scripture, you know, I've talked about this before, but this is not for sissies. I mean, really, if you are in Christ, you're in a war zone and you have a target on your back, an enemy who wants to destroy you. And there is no passivity in the kingdom of God. We need to take our stand, hold on to the promises, and we do need to persevere in battle, don't we?
Yes, and I feel that is such a... I mean, I feel when I came to Christ, really committed to Him, really understood my need for the gospel, my need for salvation and a rescuer. I don't think I really understood how much of a battle I was stepping into. I really thought everything is going to be okay now, in which it is, but everything is going to come up in us that is unhealthy, that is diseased. It's all going to come up, and I think I wasn't ready for that. I didn't have an awareness of that. And yet, you know, I don't want to scare people, but we also need to be real with people that it's not for sissies. It's not a cakewalk. It will be stormy, and yet God is.
He's so faithful. You know, I'd love a little backstory on how you came to Christ. I'm just reading again in your book, Revelation Wellness. We're drawing from that today, or the Wellness Revelation. Just that someone would invite you, ask you if you know Jesus and invite you to church. But give us context leading up to that point and really how you came to faith.
Yeah, well, I knew we left the Catholic Church when I was younger. And like I said, I've known a lot of Catholics who really do have an exposure to Jesus, really have a strong relationship with Christ. I didn't have that in our Catholic Church. I felt it was very just, you know, going through practices. I didn't understand the salvation, the need for grace. And so at 13 years old, was introduced to, my aunt and uncle introduced me to, and my parents to the gospel, the message of Christ and Jesus and the Bible, and just really kind of the basic childlike faith that we have in salvation. And so I kind of put that in my back pocket for years. Got married, life got hard, and I was working at a gym in Camarillo, California, and I was miserable. I had everything on the outside. You know, I looked good on the outside, but on the inside I felt lonely, I felt sad, felt very hopeless in a sense, and uncertain and afraid. And a friend who, a woman that I just moved to this town, and she, her name was Shawn, and she was a personal trainer at this gym, and she was a party girl. She was a party girl when I got there. She was kind of the hoop and holler of the gym, and everyone loved hanging out with Shawn, loved training with Shawn, and I just kind of watched her and who she was, getting to know her. And then one day she just came in, and she was quiet and rested, and started slowly noticing things were changing for Shawn. She was just a different demeanor. And then she approaches me one day behind the trainer's desk and says, Elisa, do you go to church? And I said, well, not here. Since we've moved here, I don't. And she's like, well, you should come with me, you know, come with me to church sometime. I'm over at the next to the 99-cent store, just kind of down the street. And I said, oh, well, I couldn't do that. And she said, why? And I said, well, my husband won't go. And I knew that when I married my husband. Again, I wasn't walking with Christ. I would call myself a Christian. I didn't understand what it meant to live a life, a redemptive life. And so I was afraid to go to church by myself. And I knew he wouldn't go. And I said, well, my husband won't go. And then she challenged me. She said, well, then you'd go. What are you waiting for? You just go. And
love
I always
that.
Say, God knows how to talk to us in our language. Yeah.
Yeah.
Knows, you know, that was a throwdown, like a challenge card. You go. And it sat with me for weeks. Like, gosh, why don't I just go? And when she invited me, I knew I needed to be going. There's something in me that was drawn to church, but I was so afraid of going alone. And eventually, months later, just due to circumstances in our marriage being really broken, really sad. I mean, we were on the verge of divorce, only a year married. I just knew I have to go to church. And so I got up the courage one day to go by myself to that Calvary Chapel next to the 99-cent store, and went in. And it just happened that day that he was preaching on John 4, the woman at the well. And that was me. Everything, I'm like, you know, she's married many times and husbands that he knew her story, and yet he was kind to her. And just the whole message felt like I was that woman at the well, that he was saying, I will, you'll never be thirsty again. Drink of me. And my ears were open. My heart was turned on. And I kept going. But you know what, Susie? I would always wait. I would not go to the worship. I would wait because the worship with the people raising their hands, I'm like, that's just weird. I don't know what's going on there. So I would come 15 minutes late and just hear the message. And to know me now is to know, oh, I'm like hands up. I mean, we have a fitness. And, you know, the Lord calls me to the body, the placement of the body, how we move our body, the experience of encountering God in our bodies, it's true. Now I'm one of those hands up, singing as loud as I can, transformed hearts.
Wow, what a beautiful story. Did your husband end up coming to the Lord?
You know, eventually he watched me go through those changes. Our marriage got better because I took my claws off of him. Like, I knew he could not save me, And so he was watching me change. He did start to come to church. He started to inquire and then come to church. And he was a agnostic. He just didn't see a need for God, but he was watching it. He did come, started listening. He did receive and say the sinner's prayer about 3 or 4 months into his search of kind of coming to church with me. And it was all, I mean, I instantly saw a transformation in my husband within weeks. And honestly, what was an interesting part of my story is he was only a professing believer for about 3 to 4 months before he kind of faded away. And he has a very scientific background. He's an engineer. He has no faith in his lineage, no faith in his downline whatsoever of his family. So this was new to him and really hard. I think all his, the parable of the sower of the seeds, all the cares of the world, all the questions and concerns of the world, all the science came to his mind, and he could not reconcile some things about faith. And faith is faith, right? If you had all the questions answered, you wouldn't need faith. And he could not get all of his questions answered. His analytical mind really got in there, and the war began. And then he slowly faded away. A big part of my story is for about 10 years when I was called to wellness, to Revelation Wellness, and that was beginning to take off, he was actually becoming more and more distant from the Lord and became an atheist. And then we went into a time of our life when I was growing so strong in the Lord, and he was not him, the enemy in him, using him was my number one, adversary. And it was hard. It was the hardest season of my life, for sure.
Hmm. Reminds me of the case for Christ, you look at Lee Strobel and his wife, and she's pursuing God, and he's becoming more, antagonistic. Wow, what a story.
Yeah.
Elisa, thank you for sharing that. Wow. Let's pause here. When we come back, I would love for you to speak to that. Here you're already in fitness, but now the Spirit of God has taken up residence in your soul. And how that evolved, where you started to see, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And how I care for my spiritual health, how I care for my physical health are very connected. I want you to make that connection. And friends, if you've got health questions, fitness questions, comments, chime in through text 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. The title of Elisa's book is The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. More with Elisa Keaton in just a moment. Middays, I'm Susie Larson, talking to my friend Elisa Keaton. She's a fitness expert. She's written a great book. It's a workbook. It's an 8-week journey. It's titled The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. And you may not even, this is interesting, we're going to talk about the physical and spiritual connection, but just a side note, and Elisa, you can dig into this a little bit later, but you can be thin, you can be underweight, and still be not fit. There's a term called skinny fat, where you're very thin, but you have no physical strength. And God really wants to build strength into your frame. He wants to build strength into your soul. He wants you to be healthy, mind, body, and spirit. And we're going to make that connection. In fact, at least do that if you would now. Just you before the break, you gave your salvation story, which is really amazing. But you were a fitness professional first. Then you came to Christ. So what was that like? How did the Lord make those connections for you as you journeyed onward?
Yeah, well, like I said, fitness was a passion for me. I took my first aerobics class when I was 14 years old, fell in love with it. Just my body responded to it. It was an outlet for me. I mean, I know looking back now, it truly was a place for me to kind of escape my home life, my family life, my teenage. It was just it's a good thing. And I think moving our bodies, we know the body releases endorphins, these chemicals and stress hormones go down, and we find dopamine and all this wonderful exchange that happens. God designed our body to do good things when we have a proper amount of challenge, and I got really kind of keyed into that and enjoyed it. And so fitness became a thing for me. I became a group fitness instructor, a personal trainer. Mostly I really loved helping people who felt stuck, people that felt hopeless. And side note, I had a mom who was very heartbroken, a husband who didn't choose her, love her, a lot of infidelity and addiction going on. And I saw her kind of, she was a beautiful woman when she was younger, but just life began to really eat her up. And she also began to eat a lot, eat her emotions, and really then kind of shame cycle. And I didn't understand it. I just watched it. So I kind of ran in the opposite direction. I'm like, well, I'm going to be, you know, take care of myself and be fit. I'm not going to let anyone do that to me. I mean, really, a rebellious heart, a hardened heart kind of started for me because I didn't want to hurt like my mom. But I loved helping men or women who wanted to feel better. Kind of like the thing my mom could never do. I felt like, well, I'll help those who want help. So I began that. I loved fitness. I loved just the people, knowing their hearts, hearing their stories. But I also, as Christ entered my broken heart and showed me a bigger picture, I also began to notice more of, there's more to people's story, more going on than they just want to lose 10 pounds. They would open up to me more about their own heartbreak, their own sadness of heart. And the gospel is good news, right? That's what it means, good news. And as Guy was receiving good news, it was kind of elevating my personal training game in a way. I felt like I can't just train your body anymore. There's more to you. I love you so much. I am a person, Susie, that I love deep. Like, I mean, truly, like I feel like connected to you or anyone that has this heart for hard things and holy things and wants to do it. I will grab you and walk with you. I'll, you know, cheer you on. I just don't give up. I'm a big encourager in that way. But when I was hearing bigger stories, it was hard for me not to give people good news of the gospel. And one day the Lord just said to me, Elisa, do you want to do it my way? Do you want to do this my way? And I thought, oh, what does that mean? You know, I think I liked doing it CIA, kind of undercover. Mm-hmm. But he asked if I would be so bold. And I kind of initially said, no, thank you. My dignity is on the line here. My reputation's no. And he would come again and ask me, or I would be training a client and I would see it. And I think I was still also, because of my own marriage being really kind of broken and shattered, and I will say that looking back now, I know that the Lord used that time where my husband was away from the faith to grow me in real steadfastness of like, am I worth it, Elisa? Will you do it? Will you speak? Will you go to this strange place with me? And because he was everything to me, really Christ became everything to me. He was leading me, teaching me, fathering me, mothering me. You know, he was everything to me that I said, okay, I'll do it. So I began to really pray a prayer and say, okay, show me. And then I would start reading the word and start seeing things, you know, as far as, you know, physical training of some value, but godliness endures, that blessed are the poor in spirit. So actually when these people are coming to me, they're actually blessed and they are mourning and they're seeking righteousness. They're seeking all these things. And when we seek the kingdom, we're given all these other things. So I could not talk about the first and most important thing anymore in my training. That was about, gosh, I don't even know, I'm losing track of time, but maybe 15 years ago, I started writing, you know, an 8-week, which is what the book, The Wellness Revelation, is, of someone that wants to go through this but look at it from a deeper lens. Look at it with a lens for the Bible, the Word, your story, your pain, the lies you've believed. And, I mean, I don't know. I just went on a journey. And honestly, everything about the book, anything I write, I just sit and go, okay, Dad, speak to me. Tell me what you want your people to know.
What did you see when you started to connect, when you stepped out into this ministry, because the Lord wanted you to connect spiritual and physical? What did you start to see in your clients as you really unapologetically said, you're physical and you're spiritual, so let's talk about both of these. What a difference. What difference did it make, should I say?
Well, I will have to own the fact, you know, it wasn't popular. I lost a lot. That's one of those things. I had a friend today who lost their pet. You know, today they lost a pet. And loss is something I feel like in my life, there's been a lot of loss. I lost some clients at first. I became too much. One time I gave the manual of the book. It wasn't even a book yet. It was just kind of a program that I did. And I gave it to a church, and they came, and I said, you know, could I maybe walk a few of your people through this? Because I was looking for God's people. I was trying to help the people that might have the ears to hear. And they actually told me it was too much Jesus.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's too much Jesus. Like, in other words, they just wanted me to do the fitness. They just wanted me to help some people lose some weight. And I'm like, I think that's the point is Jesus. Like, if we get more Jesus in us, the weight will fall off. It was one of those, maybe, you know, I had to suffer the persecution of, you're just too much. This is just, please just give us the workout program and go away. So it was hard, but I know now, I've had been just being diligent to it, that really the body is just keeping a score, that the body is holding a story. This really has nothing to do. And whoever is listening to this and hears me and you've got weight to lose or you feel like your body is not as fit as it once was or whatever we do, because we judge based on what we see. We just do. We are people of flesh where we can measure, touch, taste, feel, sounds. We take in this information. And unless we metabolize it with the Holy Spirit, it can become fuel for the wrong sort. Like it will fuel something in us. The Holy Spirit has to interrupt the messaging that we're receiving to make sure that whatever our heart accepts, that it becomes fruitful, that it becomes useful for us. And so I had to really just be patient with people and let them figure this out. And now we're getting, now today, you know, 15 years later, we're now getting so much more research as your own book, Fully Alive, Susie. I mean, you hit it with the research now, the neuroscience and, you know, psychoneuroimmunology and gut health, all these things that we're going, oh my gosh, it's a bigger story than let's do some jumping jacks and get our waist inches down. You know, like there's a bigger thing going on about wellness and health, how we think and how we feel are connected. And I think now is an exciting time. So I think now, have I been training clients now, there'd be more openness. So I lost a lot of clients initially, but then I picked up some new ones. And you know what? Those new ones were fewer, but they were strong and they were into, like, they had success. Mostly, they initially felt like their depression lifted. Their kindness came. They became more patient with their husband or their children. They found a new language for themselves. Their identity shifted. And when identity shifts, then we can pick up the habits of whatever that person is or we decide we're going to be.
You think about, you know, when someone battles overweightness, where they're carrying more weight than they know that they should.
Yeah.
And so because we're in a culture of treating symptoms, we think so often, my problem is the weight. I just need to lose the weight. But underneath is still a soul that needs healing. And we can treat symptoms all day long. I just got to take care of the weight. But then it goes up and it comes down. It goes away. It comes back. And that's why diets, people spend so much money on diets. But we get to the soul place and go, whether I lose this weight or not, I am precious in God's sight. Yet, Lord, I want to be healthy. I want to take care of this temple. And so show me what's going on in the soul level, and then show me what's the wise path for me. Everybody's path is different. We need to pause here for our break. But, you know, maybe you're somebody who needs to do intermittent fasting, or maybe not. And let's talk fasting, actually, on the other side. I'd love to hear what you have to say. But also healthy weight loss. I want to talk about that as well. And if you've got questions regarding those or other health questions, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Elisa Keaton's my guest. Title of her book, The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. And we will be back in a moment. Just got to put your hand up, and when that enemy's coming at you, you say, talk to the hand. Actually, talk to the Father. Put your shield up and don't take that stuff. So much gets into us, those railing voices in our ear, really from the enemy himself, and we tend to turn on ourselves. We make self-sabotaging decisions. We're talking about health and wholeness today, not only physical fitness, but true health, even maybe weight loss from a biblical perspective. We're going to touch on fasting as well. I'm talking to fitness expert and overall woman of God, Lisa Keaton, and she writes, once we surrendered ourselves to God's strength and power, we organically develop a thirst to maintain unbroken fellowship with Him. Because outside forces will try to pull us away from His ways, we will always be in need of His sovereign and loving hand to guide our lives. Love that. 877-933-2484. Chime into the conversation. Terry texts in this. He said, this program is really hitting me where I live. I was also a fitness trainer and amateur bodybuilder for most of my life and also wasn't walking with Christ at the time. I started working out to attract the opposite sex, and it definitely worked. I stopped working out 9 years ago because of injuries and then was born again 4 years ago. My physical is healed, as is my spiritual. How can I start a fitness program without it becoming a vain endeavor where it might suppress my spiritual growth and becomes my main focus as it was in my past? Okay, I love that question, yeah. Elisa, because, again, this is another one of the reasons I think Christians throw the baby out with the bathwater. I don't hear yeah. Terry doing this, but Christians are so afraid of the idolatry that the world is made of health that they don't even yeah. want to touch it. So speak yeah. to Terry, if you would.
Yeah, that's so true. Oh, gosh, love Terry. I love your heart. So good. Well, now that you have a renewed spirit, you have a new spirit, you're a new creation, you have a new mind, and we renew that mind, I would say there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. So we are not to fear stewardship of our bodies, stewardship. I think always knowing, and first I always tell people, you got to know the motivation of your heart. Why do you want to start doing this? What is the motivation? And I would imagine, Terry, it sounds like you really just want to, you know, honor God and feel good and have the energy back. And there's something about it that you enjoy doing. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't have done it. So there's a pure thing there. It just got entangled with a lot of other, you know, unsanctified things, which we're all guilty of at any given time if our heart's motives are not continually checked. And like you wrote with the quote you just read, it's unbroken fellowship. I feel like the Lord goes with me. I mean, I ask him, where are you going, where you want to go? And he often looks at me and says, where you want to go? When we go to the gym, he's with me. I'm with him. I've never been alone in this, and I enjoy seeking him in my workouts. So whatever I'm listening to my ears or really being in tune with my body too, of how am I feeling, how am I moving, you know, being really present in movement. I think when I was in the bodybuilding days and all that, I'm like Terry, it really was almost mind over matter. Like you almost were trying to disconnect your mind from the matter, where I feel like in Christ, you want to matter. You want the movement to matter and be present to it and breathe and ask the Holy Spirit to encourage you. I just seek first the kingdom is what comes to mind, Terry, that if it is your desire to, like, you know, I mean, that's the truth. The truth is the world is not set up to make us stronger. We have to move against it. Resistance is in this world. Whenever you go for a walk or go to the gym, it's resistance. You got to get up off the couch and go and move. And as we do that in a seek first God, you don't have to worry about it becoming an idol again. And keep renewing your mind in the Word of God, clearly, always. I mean, I always say that's the most important thing. And as long as you have unbreaking fellowship with God, you walk with him and talk with him during the day, and he walks and talks with you, don't even worry about it. Go to the gym. Have some fun. Pick up the weights. Smile. Pay attention to people around you. You are a light, a city of a hill, and salt. The gym, if there's any place that needs us, it is in those gyms. They are very dry and often very self-focused. If you can be a person who's looking around and, you know, smiling, I mean, it's such a wonderful place to really sharpen ourselves as witnesses for who God is. And just by being there and being true to why you are there, why is your motive being there? Stay true to that.
Yeah, and you know, you can imagine, I used to teach a class when I worked in the fitness industry for beginners, and it was like a weight loss. It was kind of like a Weight Watchers class. We did a meeting where we did a weigh-in. We talked about a physical component, like diet, and then we talked exercise. But then we would go into the studio, and I taught them very basics, like on a step class, or very basics mm-hmm. on a strength training. And I said, don't look at the people in the hallway. Don't look at the people across the aisle there in the weight room. Let's look at ourselves and let's just measure against, you know, our own progress from last week. Mm-hmm. And it was absolutely amazing to see these people. I felt like they were the heroes of the health club, because how incredibly intimidating to go, okay, I'm not only stepping into this world where people have made the body an idol. I'm not going to do that, but I'm doing it so I can get healthy. And then, mm-hmm. and then to just refuse the temptation to compare so you despair and get healthy yeah. in your own right. I think, Elisa, that might be why so many won't go, because it's so intimidating. And if you're a Christian, yeah. you're like, I don't want to enter that realm because there's idolatry, there's self-focus. But they maybe know deep inside, I really ought to get healthy. I want to bring my best self to my life, you know?
Yeah.
And you write this, I thought it was so good. You said, desperation and disgust are powerful motivators for change, but they do not lead to lasting results and increasing joy. Friends, you got to hear that again, because I don't want self-contempt or disgust to drive you to the club, because you'll be starting off on the wrong foot. Desperation and disgust are powerful motivators for change, but they will not lead to lasting results and increasing joy. Say a word, if you would, about that.
Yeah, I want to say too, they're powerful motivators, terrible liberators. They cannot liberate you. They cannot take you into a freedom place. Their whole job is to continue to confine you, conform you, press you down, you know, shame and disgust. We know that is not the voice of God. That's not, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to us in shame or disgust. It calls us out. It encourages us. It says, let's go have fun. Let's see what happens if we try something new today. Let's not be discouraged if it gets hard and difficult. Let's breathe. Let's see what we can do. I feel, you know, Paul tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. There's a partnership that we do. We show up. I'm afraid to be here, or whatever it is. We have to own, you know, if you feel, I do think it's really, really important to acknowledge what you feel. Don't try to, you know, not pretend that you don't feel disgust or you don't feel those things. You have to acknowledge that is what I'm feeling. But what is true? What is true? What does God say? So we have to come up to a higher thought. And as we do that, we go to the gym, we do the hard things, or we go somewhere that we might feel confronted by judgment or comparison, that is good work. I want to say that's good work for us to do. Otherwise, we just hide back in our little Christian bubble where we're all the same, we all think the same, we all do the same thing, instead of pushing out. And I'm not saying every day, you know, I understand there's rest times you need to just be and just, you know, take a moment, and you don't have to expose yourself to all these stressors. But we're being exposed to stress every day. We're being exposed to the pressure to conform or to compare. It's happening every day. So why not grab back, get back your own health, your soul care, your mind care, your emotions. Go ahead, grab them all. That's why Paul says, gird up, grab it and gird it up, bring it into yourself and go to the gym or go for a walk, go do the thing that feels uncomfortable to do. That's my mission towards the church, is to say, listen, we're not fooling anybody. We're kind of sick. We have some sickness in all of us. We are sinners saved by grace, praise God. But there's still days that we are tempted to doubt or have shame. Or, you know what, I think the biggest thing is the suspicion that God isn't good. The suspicion that he's not listening. I've been fooled. This is terrible. You know, whatever it is. And we have to get honest with what we're thinking, what we're feeling, and it's all happening inside this body. But when we go move the body, look for a higher thought, bring ourselves into optimistic thinking and love and compassion and empathy, we can get our identity back. And when we get our identity back, now my body responds. I can make better choices. I can hold my tongue. I have an empowering of the Holy Spirit that I probably wouldn't have had if I just stayed comfortable.
Wow, very good. This dear listener writes in, my neighbor, when I lived in Hawaii, had a very good doctor who said that after the age of 45 or 50, we should keep about 5 pounds of extra fat on our bodies, as well as working out to build muscle. The reason is that if you become ill or need surgery, there's something to go on to not use muscle for energy. What do you say?
That's a great perspective. And there actually have been studies. I know there have been studies that have shown that as people age, and when they get like into their 50s and older, that they show greater happiness goes up in their life as they put a little bit more weight on. And there is some science behind that, of stressors, of things against us. I think it's kind of funny. I mean, I think I want to be careful about saying a specific number or what you should be. I think we get into trouble with that, or even when science tries to dictate our reality. Science is good evidence and there's something there, but truth is where you are in your season. I do believe as we get older, it's just naturally harder for us to have a high burn metabolism. So it's normal to put on a little bit of weight unless you plan to move more and more and more. And the truth is, I'm getting older. Life really isn't about the body, as my friend Jimmy Pena says. It's just not about the body. Life is a matter of praise and worship. So we have to be careful about a number or what we think we should weigh or do. Just be honest to the season you are in. You know, there's seasons that you're bedridden, you break a bone or something, you're going to gain a little more weight, and that is okay. Again, it goes back to the heart, not feeling defeated or shameful, because so what? You know, there's some countries, it used to be once upon a time that more weight was more honor, more abundance. It was wealth and riches. It's just funny how we've kind of assigned value to weight. But back to that question, I think as you get older, it's just kind of normal that things do soften and weight can come on, but it also is not permission to say, well, I'm older now and I don't have to do anything. Every day you wake up and just go, you know, what's needed today? What's the best that I got for today that would be appropriate challenge for me today? Because it's easy for me to just take the more comfortable road out when we get older. And that is scientifically proven too. There's a lot of studies that as we get older, it's people tend to throw it out because it is harder to get out of bed. We do feel more entitled. Well, you know, who cares? I'm not going to have the six-pack abs anymore. Who cares? We have to go back to the motivation. There's still goodness that happens to us about an activity of daily living and how I feel. If I just, you know, exercise some strength training, some squatting, some basic, you know, all strength training is putting weight on body movements and mechanics that are helpful for your daily life. I mean, then you get to the weird bodybuilding place where then it's just, that doesn't even, it's not anymore about function. It's about form. Mm-hmm. Where at function, there's always value to just put your body under some stress, move, do the best chair and, you know, stand up, sit down. I mean, every time you squat, you're doing it, or whenever you stand up from a chair, you're doing a squat. And so that you don't have unnecessary pain. We want to mitigate unnecessary pain, but we have to play a role in that.
Yeah, what's the appropriate challenge? I love that. You know, this is why our Apple Watches and our different smartwatches are telling us to get up on the hour. I mean, even just for a cleansing of your lymph system, because
Amen.
That lethargy is sitting for so long, you just start right. to, your lymph system kind of gets all mucky, you know, to get up and get moving. Picture you're just pushing things through the lymph system,
yeah.
and that's a detoxing act, you know, run up the stairs if you can on the hour.
Yep.
Boy, just do something. This dear listener writes in, I'm 20 to 25 pounds overweight. I really appreciate the honesty. She said, she says, I have had a rebellious spirit towards diet and exercise for years. I eat decent, but could be better. And could be better control in portions, but I rebel. I exercise occasionally, but apparently not enough to lose weight. Again, I rebel. I love Jesus, regularly pursue him in his way. So I wonder what's beneath that locked elbow thing. I mean, you wonder, did something happen? Did somebody say something to you? Were you hurt? Were you made to feel like not enough? Because to me, that's what so often is a reaction going, you're not going to push me into something that you've already made me feel not enough in. I wonder what you'd think, Elisa.
Yeah, well, first of all, no shameless plug, but I would encourage you to get my book.
Yeah.
I'd encourage you just because it will walk through that of, you know, the lies, the who told you this, because there's some reason that, you know, we just fall back into a pattern. It's Romans 7 when Paul says, I know what I want to do. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. And so we're stuck. But Romans 8 tells us, live a life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. And I think I want to also feel impressed to say to this person and the many who feel this pattern happen, especially if you're overweight. And again, we just tend to shame for whatever reason, the fat, the shake, the looseness of skin, whatever, we just kind of disgust ourselves. Well, we need new eyes. We need to get to, you know, in 1 Peter it says it's the adorning of the person, of the hidden person of the heart that God really is after. That's what he's going after, that what's the hidden heart? And God, we know in 1 Samuel, God says he looks at the heart, not at the outside when he's picking, you know David for the kingship. He's not looking at these amazing looking sons. So we tend to look at the outside and then we feel disgusted or disappointed. And that's just, we have got to go after that. This is not about that. You have to kind of break up with the expectation that the world puts on you of, I'm going to lose this much weight and this much time and this is going to be, you just break up with it. Remember, God is good and he's for you feeling good, that you would feel good, that you would have energy, that you would have optimistic thinking, that the energy of the Holy Spirit is knocking on your door. You got to open it up and partner with that energy. This is how we become salt and light. This is how we become living testimonies. But I would say the hard part we have to remember is that if someone's overweight, and I'm talking even more, like 50, 100 pounds, you know, I heard this one time where someone who has an alcoholic can stop drinking for a day, and they can celebrate, I'm 1 day sober, I'm 2 days sober, I'm 3 days sober, and you feel like, I'm sober, I've made a change, there's something new happening. But for a person who feels like they have to lose weight, they're 1 day working out, I'm getting in shape, but I don't see it yet. I'm 2 days working out, I'm getting in shape, but I don't see it yet. And that's the problem, is we get caught in what we see, and then we feel, forget it, it's not worth it. So what, I lost 5 pounds, or so what, my pants are looser, so what. We get impatient, and we go back to measuring this whole thing based on what we can see. So the message, I mean, I feel this whole hour is, everyone, let's get focused on the unseen. The kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it wants to come in through our bodies. He's looking to put you on like a glove. And he needs to get in your body and move you and motivate you. And you have to be fit for that. You have to be fit, meaning ready for your purpose, ready and able for your purpose.
I'm going to pause here. This friend says, you know, I just enjoy food. Hard to learn how to buy, prepare, eat food, break patterns and habits. One last thought, when you talk about this rebellious spirit, I just, you know, whenever we rebel against something that's good for us, I feel like do some work with that around the Lord, with the Lord, because rebellion opens the door to the enemy. Scripture's really clear on that. Maybe you're just using that as a word, but I think God wants to bring some healing and even change your tastes and your heart's desires. Talking to Elisa Keaton, when we come back, we are going to talk fasting. What's good? What's not so good? Is it for everybody? What are the benefits? What must we know? Elisa Keaton's my guest, and we will be back in a moment. Need to hear songs like that. I'm strong and full of life. You know what? I say that to myself every single day, even when I'm battling. I am strong and I'm full of life. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. My guest today is fitness expert Elisa Keaton. We're drawing from the content of her great book. It's a workbook, an 8-week journey, The Wellness Revelation. What weighs you down so you can love God, yourself, and others. Let's talk a bit, if we can, with a few minutes we have left here, about fasting, purpose of it, what we must know as believers, that we're not just depriving ourselves of meals or snacks or treats, but that it actually goes deeper than that for us.
Yeah, fasting, it's been an interesting time in fitness and wellness, as we're seeing a trend, a popular movement of fasting. And here's the truth. I see this happen a lot. This is where I get really jealous for my father, my father in heaven. These are things that he has given that are true. To take a break from food does reap physical benefits. It does. But it was always meant, first and most, as a seek first the kingdom. It's a spiritual discipline. That's what it was intended for. It was never intended to kickstart a metabolism and help us lose weight. Now, that being said, I'm very careful to say that anything's bad. I think everything is permissible, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:12. Everything's permissible, but not everything's beneficial. Everything's permissible, but I won't be mastered by anything. And what happens is, we intermittent fasting is a way of kind of, you know, fooling with the body's metabolism, dropping the calories low and spiking it back up, and kind of plays with the ketosis of the body, the body's ability to start breaking down fat instead of, because you're eating less. And I understand that, but I think what happens is we'll focus on that, and now we've hijacked this thing that was really made for us to seek the Creator, God, and not worship Creator things, as Romans tells us that if we're not careful, we will worship created things rather than Creator God. Fasting is a created thing. God gave us the ability to fast. Our bodies respond, and it can do something to kind of ignite the systems of the body. But if it's not a lifestyle, and it's also not something that can be maintain for long. And plus, the body's really smart. If that becomes how you eat, you know, you intermittent fast on a regular in order to drop weight or maintain weight or whatever, the body will eventually outsmart you. But if we're doing it as in trusting God, that we're seeking Him, Isaiah 58 is all about fasting. In the book, I write about fasting.
If I could jump in, just because we got a couple minutes left before we have to pray, but you know, Jesus said these kinds of things only come out by prayer and fasting. There's a spiritual component to breakthrough in your life. So to me, it's even, I mean, there are physical components, of course, but there's a very real spiritual reality when it comes to us entering in.
That's right. Yeah. And that's, I guess that would be my caution to everyone. And not that fear is not my motto at all, but just be aware. It's a powerful thing. Why would I want to use something that was made to actually, you know, mold me from the inside out to seek it for something of an outside in purpose?
So in what cases do you fast and what does that look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely when I'm, well, sometimes God just calls me to one. I'll just have a sense. And here's me, Susie, I don't love a fast. I know some people love to fast. I like to eat. My body gets cold. I feel uncomfortable. I don't like it. But I know when He's calling me to one. It's usually when I'm heartbroken or I feel really in despair. I just desperately need Him. I need Him more than anything else. You know, but we tend to turn to everything else before we turn to Him. And so for me, it's usually in times of real, I'm seeking, and it's not a way for me to strong arm God. It's just I want to only hear from Him, even if it's just, you know, through a moment, a touch. His word comes more alive when we're fasting. Definitely partner the word with your fasting, and our brains get clear. And I think it's just a beautiful, intimate time. And when I do it, it's because I'm seeking Him in a really intimate, desperate way for me.
Yeah. Same with me. And I can't believe, you know, it's hard for me too. I get cold in the same way. I feel dizzy at times. But when I press in and press through, it is amazing how God does bring revelation or insight or wisdom that I'm seeking. It's really a powerful dynamic. There's lots of books out there on fasting as well. Just got a moment here before it's time to pray. But I love to ask this most of my guests. Elisa, what do you know about God now that you didn't know even a few years ago?
Oh, it's going to make me cry. He really loves me. He loves me. I think I didn't know that. I really came to Christ just to be safe and to not be hurt. And, you know, I didn't want to hurt anymore. And I've actually, if anything, like I've said, it's been a lot of hurt, a lot of loss, a lot of pain. But, man, has He been tender and kind and transformed my heart. He cares for me. He cares for me like a father that I never had. He's true. He's not just a God of a two-dimensional book, words. He is the living word. He's cut my heart when things have needed to be removed, and He's put into it things I never knew I could have. I've lost everything I never knew I needed and have gained more than I can imagine. That's who He is to me.
Wow, profound. Well, I'm going to pray. Normally I ask but you're walking through a tough time, and I'm thinking of the person today who's also walking through a tough time. So, Father, first I lift up my sister, Elisa. I thank You for Your great love for her, that she's Your girl. You love her so much, and that You sing over her. She is precious and honored in Your sight. And I thank You that You're going to untangle the knots. You're going to make the crooked ways straight. You're going to move the mountains and bring provision in the very near future, Lord. I thank You that the people who have blind eyes, their eyes will open again, and closed doors and closed hearts would open again in the name of Jesus. And we thank You that You're going to make things right. And for that friend listening today who's walking through the valley of the shadow, I pray that You'd show that person that You're right there, right there, right next to them in step, Lord. And I pray You put Your hand of blessing on their head, Lord, that You'd show them and speak to their hearts. Not much longer will the breakthrough come. Not much longer, and you'll see your breakthrough. We commit that dear friend to You today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I love you, dear girl. Thank you for the time today.
Susie, I love you so much. Thank you. Anytime.
Look forward to connecting again. Elisa Keaton, everybody. Title of her book is The Wellness Revelation. Pray that you found some encouragement here today. And I want to give a big shout out to my amazing producers, Carissa Rogers and Kim Sanders. I say this every day, but they make every day brighter, every show better. And a special thanks to you, my dear listener, for tuning in. Pray you'll meet me back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.